clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself and Jay are delighted to welcome along Andrew Patterson to look back on Saturday's 3-1 victory over Clyde in the Betfred League Cup. We'll look ahead to Sunday's season opener at Easter Road against Hibs. We'll discuss the Betfred League Cup draw for the last 16, which paired Motherwell with Livingston for a place in the quarterfinals. And we'll see what else takes our fancy over the next 45 minutes or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers. Evening.
Well, Jay, I'll start with yourself. Saturday's 3-1 victory over Clyde in the League Cup. It certainly isn't one that would be described as emphatic. We went a goal behind in the first half, and it was only three goals in the last 20 minutes that saved us an embarrassing exit from the competition. The second Saturday in a row that we've suffered a real struggle against lower league opposition. The football on display was far from easy in the eye. A very difficult game, but I suppose in the end, what matters most is the result and the fact that we have booked our place in that draw for the last 16.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm obviously kind of commenting on it blind, as it was at a wedding on Saturday, so I didn't even get to, you know, catch it on the TV. So I'm not going to make any bold comments on the actual game itself. You know, aside from the highlights on BT Sport and the club's sort of story of the match type of thing. I've not actually seen very much of the game at all. So the game itself is not something that I would really comment on. But in terms of the result, in terms of where we would want to be, you know, after the group stage, it's kind of went to plan. You know, I agree with what you're saying about the two away games. Obviously, Stranraer was a struggle. And from, you know, practically everybody I've heard from about Saturday's game, it was, you know, very similar, albeit we managed to grind out the win. But I think it's early enough in the season that it's, you know, there's no point in getting too concerned about these kind of things. You know, it's been mentioned before, you know, I've seen it in Steelman Online and on social media, but, you know, the Edinburgh City away game in the group stage last year is kind of a good example. I think Stephen Robinson mentioned it as well in his post-match interview. You know, that's a good example of a game that I think everybody at the time maybe got a little bit worried and thought, right, this could be a long, hard season, and yet we went on to do pretty well. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting that struggling against lower league opposition in the group stage is anything to be positive about, but I don't think it's worth getting too negative about. Alan Campbell said after the Queen of the South game that the Clyde game just represented an opportunity to get the job done, to do what the expectations were, and that was to top the group. And yes, it might have not been the prettiest game that MD's ever been to, but it was a 3-1 victory, all 3 points. And at the end of the day, I don't know whether certain football fans maybe look at group stages slightly differently. You know, if it's a knockout round of a competition, nobody's really, you don't care about the performance, you just want to get the job done, you want to get the win. I don't know if because it's a group stage and it's sort of, you know, 3 points for a win, and there's that kind of league mentality that maybe a little bit more emphasis is placed on the performance, but I really don't think there should be. And we could have had 4 shit fests, 1-4 and top the group, and we would have been delighted with that.
Andy, Jay's kind of taking me on to my next question quite nicely there. I suppose we look back in last season and reaching both cup finals. I think back to games like Edinburgh City in the group stages of the Betfred League Cup, where we were terrible. We really should never have come away with the victory. But the record books show that's exactly what we did, and we went on to the final. No one, except myself doing it just now, really looks back in games like that and thinks that performances are significant, do they?
Well, I mean, you can extend that further and go back to the season before as well, where we also had an away game, third division opposition in Annan, and it was looking a wee bit iffy there for a spell. I think it was 1-1 at half time, and it was a couple of Louis Moult goals that kind of got us a similarly, you know, 3-1 victory, and it was nothing particularly startling that day either. So it's in kind of keeping with a lot of our kind of fellow kind of bottom half Premier League teams. You know, you look around at some of the results, and yeah, there's been the odd one or two that have been kind of, maybe St Mirren against the Barton at the weekend is one of the more emphatic ones. About Hearts as well was an impressive victory on Sunday also. But there's a lot of them have been kind of quite tight. You know, you see like the D-Loss to Dunfermline, you know, St Johnson. I think they got penalties with someone earlier on. I know they were behind against
Forfa.
Yeah, so, I mean, Aki's as well. I think they struggled in a couple of games. I think they went to penalty shootouts at least once as well. You know, Weirdrie, I think, at the weekend also. So it's not, we're not that much different from a lot of teams. A lot of teams seem to be in the same kind of position where you're in part, obviously trying to get through into the, you know, the knockout stages, but at the same time, you know, with the competition as it is, you're kind of trying to do a fine balance of that between getting through and trying to get as much fitness and preparation for the kind of league campaign as well. I think we're maybe one of the teams, I don't say that, but we're one of the teams that generally I always think we treat the cups a lot more seriously than maybe some teams do. I think your support generally turn out for cup games better than some supporters do, and I think there's always a kind of feeling, I don't know whether it's a kind of spur that it's so long since we last won Silverware, but there always seems to be a particular focus, you know, comes from the kind of the club to do well in these competitions, and I think to a certain extent it kind of whips everybody up, and when you see kind of flat performances, it's aside from being slightly more apprehensive in terms of going forward in the league campaign, you're looking, we all loved the cup runs last season, and, you know, it's a little, you know, become maybe a little flat, you know, a little bit could be better, you know, but we've got the job done exactly as you both said. So the priority was to get through into the, you know, the latter stages, and by hook or by crook we've done that, and we look forward to be back confidence.
Jay, just looking at some positives from the afternoon, another goal for Connor Salmon, making it 3-2 games. It came late on, and he didn't have a fantastic afternoon, it has to be said, but in terms of his confidence, continuing to find the net will only do him good. He also seems to be enjoying his football. He looks happy on the park. There were suggestions at Hearts that it was completely the opposite. He wasn't happy with his football. He wasn't happy not getting game time, naturally, and that was all contributing to just being slightly out of sorts. So this is a positive start for Salmon. Two goals against Queen of the South, another goal on Saturday. You just now hope that he can take it into the early fixtures in the league campaign.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know what Connor Salmon's sort of confidence levels or mentality was when he joined or indeed is at the moment. Certainly from his interview with when he first joined, and then his comments after the Queen of the South game, I think it was. You know, I thought he was, you know, he comes across, you know, confident. He comes across keen to get out there and score goals. So I'm not too sure about his confidence, but what it certainly has done is it, you know, hopefully keeps the baying mobs off his back for a wee while, because it was quite clear that, you know, the signing of Connor Salmon was one of those that would have the potential to turn pretty negative or even pretty nasty on a Saturday from certain elements in the East Stand or main stand, I suppose, all over the stadium these days. You know, it's that kind of football fan idea that, you know, you sign someone that you don't particularly think you should, and therefore it becomes a waiting game to get your opportunity to sort of single them out and get on their back, when, you know, in reality he's done well. You know, as you said, 3-2. You know, I think he'll do well for us. My issues with signing him were more to do with the fact that I think, you know, we're going to have two strikers on the bench more weeks than not, and I would prefer one of those bursts to go to one of our younger strikers rather than bringing in someone on loan. But that's not to say that, you know, Connor Salmon won't do a job. I think he's, you know, he's got a proven goal-scoring record at, you know, SPFL level. He must have something about him. I mean, what's interesting is when conversations, particularly online, the likes of Payne Borough and on Steelman Online, when the conversation actually turns to away from, oh, Conor Salmon's just a big haddy, to, you know, how was he utilised at certain clubs? It becomes pretty evident that, you know, when you see Conor Salmon as the big target man and lump the ball at his head, he's not going to do anything. Now, whether that's maybe what, you know, Hearts were doing, I'm not sure, but certainly Kilmarnock and Partick Thistle fans have made it pretty clear that if you don't treat him like a target man, if you get the ball at his feet and you treat him like a pacey, reasonably skillful striker, then he'll get you goals. Obviously, to ask our current Motherwell side not to lump the ball forward might be a bit of an ask, but it's at least, you know, encouraging to know that there is a way to play Conor Salmon, and if you do so and you play his strengths, then he'll get you goals, like he's proven in the past.
And Andy, I think a theme over the 90 minutes on Saturday was a lack of creativity, but Elliot Freer stuck to the task and played a hand in two of the three goals. The one for Salmon, he's got at his man, he's dinked over a lovely hanging cross, and it's left him with a pretty simple header into the corner of the net. So good to see Freer linking up with Salmon. We've talked about him in the past, he's been a confidence player, perhaps sometimes needing an arm round him to tell him that he is as good as we know he can be. There's certainly signs that Elliot Freer can be excellent on his day. For me, he doesn't quite produce it enough. But it was another encouraging display from Elliot Freer.
Yeah, he certainly had a very positive impact in the, you know, the season thus far, with his hat trick against Edinburgh City, and, you know, a couple of assists at the weekend there. He's got a very important role with us, particularly given that if our wide players don't receive the ball on their game, then exactly as you mentioned, then there is a tendency for some occasions where we see, like, the ball just kind of lumped forward, and we try to benefit from the kind of physical attributes and what have you from some of our kind of forward players. So he plays quite an important role in obviously creating chances and getting deliveries across, and the kind of deliveries that our players are going to benefit from. It was quite unfortunate in some respects since he's come to the club that I think obviously he was considered as a kind of an out-and-out winger, and, you know, there's been defensive kind of duties instilled in his game since he came here. And it can be a little bit unfortunate, where you can almost see he's kind of slightly hesitant in the knowledge that if he loses it here, then he knows that we're under pressure. But on his day, you know, I think it was Robinson who came out with some statistic a couple of games ago there, but I can't remember if he was the player in the overall league that had put in most deliveries last season. But, you know, his importance, a fit player that's there, confidence is high. You know, he's certainly quite key in terms of creating chances, and, you know, as we saw with the finish for Salmon for the third, the delivery and finish, you know, it illustrates that when he's on his game, just how important a player he can be for us.
Jay, as with everything, there was a few negatives too. Injury to Carroll McHugh in the first half. I've not seen actually confirmed to what extent Carroll McHugh is injured, but he looked in a lot of discomfort as he came off the park. He's had a difficult summer, I suppose, or he's had circumstances to deal with over the summer. Carroll McHugh, having relinquished the captaincy, has found himself playing at the centre-back rather than his role of central midfield, which he did last season. He's made a good start for me, and it was a real disappointment to see him going off. It would certainly be a loss at a time where we seem to be losing quite a few players to injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on, particularly in the, you know, the fact that he's done well. I mean, I suppose, you know, if we're not going to read too much into you know, having to grind out results against lower league opposition, then it would be a bit hypocritical to read too much into sort of early season League Cup performances of a positive nature. But I think Carroll McHugh has looked really good at the back. You know, it's one of these debates that's pretty much been raging since he joined. You know, where is his best position? You know, obviously originally a centre-half, but then we signed him as a centre-mid. You know, Joe McKelvey, who goes to the, you know, the games with us, made the point, I think at the Queen of the South game, that, you know, I think he hit the nail on the head. The Carroll McHugh is a very, very good footballer with the ball at his feet, but requires maybe just a little bit more time than he will get in the middle of the park in Scottish football. I think, you know, one of the things that a lot of players do say, you know, in terms of the difference between the English and Scottish game is that the Scottish game is faster. And I would imagine, you know, if you're in the heart of the centre, the heart of the midfield, you're going to be closed down a lot quicker than perhaps you are when you're at the back. Obviously, if you're up against, you know, a Kenny Miller type that's going to run and run at you, then that may not always be the case. But I think Carol McHugh, when he's got that, just that, you know, few extra moments to compose himself and to just, you know, calmly pick a pass, I think you see him at his best. And I think it just may be the case that he can't perhaps play the way he wants to play in the centre of the park. And that's perhaps why the, you know, the position in the heart of the defence actually suits him a lot better. And that's not to just, you know, talk about his footballing ability. He's a cracking defender as well. He's phenomenally brave. He's tough in the tackle. And I think, you know, if Carol McHugh, you know, is to miss out after his start, that would be a big, big blow, because I don't think it's just a case of, you know, losing a player at a time when we're losing other players. I think there is signs there that Carol McHugh at centre half could almost be like a, you know, a bit of a new signing for us.
That being said,
I saw in one of the videos after the game, it was either Motherwell's video or it might have been in BT, but I'm sure they said it was a dead leg he had, so fingers crossed it's not going to be too serious.
And I suppose that being said, that it's not, it'll feel like a new signing, and it's not just because we're losing other players just now. We've obviously been set back by the news that Charles Dunn will be ruled out for 3 to 4 months, Andy. A player that, for me, has been absolutely rejuvenated since the turn of the year, become one of our key players. So to lose him on the eve of the new Premiership season is a major disappointment.
Yeah, it'll be a big loss in several respects. I think it was one of these players that was a wee bit of a gamble, perhaps. Viewed in many respects by supporters, his kind of career didn't look particularly sparkling, interspersed by a few injuries, but Robinson seemed to rate him, obviously having had him at Oldham beforehand, and he seemed to be more a case of they had to prove his fitness rather than any kind of, when he was in trial last season, rather than any kind of, you know, having to prove his ability. And I think over the piece, you get better and better, as you say, across the whole of the campaign. So there's some question marks about his distribution, but his pace was able to get us and himself out of a few, you know, tricky situations. And to have him, you know, missing is pretty disappointing. I saw his kind of comments on Twitter after the kind of the prognosis, if you call it that, that he was going to be out for, you know, potentially 3-4 months, and he seemed to have quite a positive attitude in terms of how he was approaching that, so that can only stand him in good stead, you know, how he does his rehab and his recovery. But, you know, it's going to be a big miss, I would say, over the course of the next few months. We just need to wait and see how the kind of team shapes up and his absence. Fortunately, we do have Aaron Taylor-Sinclair in, so that's another potential option on the left-hand side, although Charles was playing, you know, on many occasions he was playing the kind of the left-hand side of that defensive kind of trio, centre-backs. So we'll see how the kind of the formations go. We do have some options out there as well. You know, obviously, Richard Tate is covering the kind of left-hand side for the kind of wing-back element. There's another option there as well. We've got Donnelly coming in, and in some respects he kind of reminds me a little bit of Charles in terms of his kind of distribution. He seems to be a bit kind of hesitant in that regard, and if we can see a kind of similar, you know, progression over the course of the season as Charles did the season before, then that can only be a good thing for us as well. But we do have some depth in there, and we've also got likes of Barry Maguire is hopefully going to continue his development, and the aforementioned Carl McHugh, if he is now a serious option for the kind of the centre back position as well, with our vast kind of options in the centre of midfield. So it's disappointing. It is going to be a loss, but it's one of these kind of situations whereby, you know, it's an opportunity for others to come in and stake a claim. And Robinson has made the kind of remarks about expanding his kind of core of the first team squad to be able to, you know, better place to manage situations such as December last season. It's a wee bit earlier perhaps than we maybe would have liked being so early on in the season, but this is an opportunity to see whether that's the case, whether we have improved the depth and that we can surmount these difficulties when they arise.
He seems to have been keeping his spirits up by filming himself talking to cows as well. I'm not 100% sure. This is an actual thing. If you've not seen Charles Dunn's Instagram account, where he's standing in a field speaking to Beefy being a rather large cow in a field. I'm not 100% sure where he is, but if it works for him, then I'm absolutely fine with that. Jay, Andy touched on something there that I thought was quite interesting. When talking about Liam Donnelly, it said that you could see there was signs there that of his ability, and almost you hope to see progression in him. And I think quite often we do buy in players that are a bit raw with the hope that we can work on them and improve them as footballers. That's certainly been the case with Charles Dunn. What I've been a wee bit frustrated about, though, is Barry Maguire, despite being mentioned as a potential replacement for Charles Dunn, he's not been given any game time during these League Cup fixtures. That must be a frustrating thing for Maguire himself. And also it's quite confusing in the fact that Stephen Robinson continues to mention guys like David Turnbull and Barry Maguire, but then doesn't give them any game time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones, and it kind of goes back a little bit to what I was saying about the Conor Salmon situation as well. I think the debate about young players can become quite black and white at times. You know, there's a lot of argument about, well, either you should be, you know, starting, you know, you should be giving youth a chance and been going with the young players, put faith in them, or you can't throw in the young players, if they're not ready, it'll blow their confidence and stuff. I think that, you know, it becomes quite a polarised argument that way, whereas I think there's a lot to be said, you know, somewhere in the middle, in that, no, you know, bringing in Conor Salmon, again, as I said earlier, you know, I'm not looking for, say, James Scott to be starting every week or to be thrown in when he's not ready. But I think if you're going to be going with two strikers, possibly there may only be one striker in certain games, that means your other two strikers or possibly three are going to be on the bench. Why not? Why cannot one of those not be, an under-20s? And by all means, if they're not ready to start games or they're only, you know, able to come on for the last 5-10, then fine. If we end up with an emergency situation and they need to get their chance, then that is often how young players, you know, come to the fore. And you could have that kind of debate, I think, all over the park. You know, David Turnbull is a player who really impressed me at the end of last season. He's a player with a bright, bright future. And I was almost convinced that this season he would play a big part. And so to be in a situation where, you know, we've brought in players that basically almost take them completely out of the equation. You know, there will be many weeks where he possibly won't even make the bench. And if he does, you know, the chance of getting on the park is going to be a long way off. And as you said, you know, Barry Maguire is another good example. We seem to, although we're getting injuries at the back, we are overflowing, you know, with centre-halves, particularly if you include, like, you know, Carroll McHugh. So is Barry Maguire going to get a chance back there? Probably not. So it is quite disappointing. I find it quite frustrating. You know, I'm by no means going to sit here and say that Stephen Robinson should be throwing in young players if he doesn't think that they're going to be capable of getting the results. You just have to look at what happened the game against Kilmarnock at the tail end of last season with young Stephen Ferguson. Stephen Ferguson, I think I've just done what you did with James Donnelly. I can't remember his name.
David Ferguson.
David Ferguson, there we go. Stephen Ferguson was, what, circa 2000 on loan for somewhere. No, but, so, I mean, you know, having to get taken off after half an hour because he was getting completely roasted, you know, that is an example of why you don't just throw young players in. But I think there needs to be more. I think there needs to be more emphasis on at least giving young players almost a hint of opportunity. You know, it was one thing to say, well, Chrissy Cadden, you know, starts every week now, and as does Alan Campbell. But those guys needed to be given the chances in the first place. And I think we're so busy at filling up positions with the likes of, you know, Conor Salmon, you know, we've looked at our squad and said, right, we need four strikers. And it doesn't seem to have occurred to anybody that one of those strikers could be James Scott. And as I said, I think you could apply that to all over the team. I think we've perhaps got a blueprint for our squad of how many players we want in each position. But I think we are too quick to go and look for those players elsewhere. I'm not suggesting that they should be in the starting lineup, but there doesn't seem to be that pathway that there really should be. And I think at a time when you've got Project Brave coming in and you're trying to attract, you know, the best young players, there needs to be that route to the first team. Otherwise, players are going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's maybe something.
I think it's difficult. Sorry for jumping in there. I think it's difficult. As you say, we have got a bigger squad, but I think there is an element that he seems to be set up for whatever reason to try and blood more of these players in the latter half of the campaign. I don't know if that's wise. I'm thinking with that in mind with the likes of the players that went out and loan. You know, there's two or three of them out there and they've got clauses inserted that if they do particularly well, we can bring them back. And as yet, it remains to be seen whether there's going to be other players who'll leave Fir Park at the moment. And in a sense, look, some of these players that are out gaining experience are, if they do come back, if they are able to stake a claim, then you take someone like Jake Hastie, who was with Airdrie, I think it was last season. He's going to have another 6 months, I think it is, with Alloa at least. Now, that 18 months that he goes and plays could mean he comes back with another 30, 40 first team games experience and be better placed to make a claim for a starting point, and a starting place rather, whenever he comes in. Ross McLean is another one that is potentially going, getting 6 months, a year, that could potentially come back if Cadden were to be sold. You've got Maguire there. There's obviously been interest mooted about Kipri in the past, you know, the bid from Hull City in the summer. So it may be a case, it's a bit again of hedging bets, that these guys may move naturally up the pecking order as other bids come in, and we may be kind of future-proof to a certain extent when they're out getting match experience that they might not otherwise have got by sitting on the bench at Fir Park getting an opportunity here and there. I mean, the kind of perfect example is, and I've forgotten the player's name now, Dom Thomas. Is, you know, he was one that, you know, he went out and loaned maybe 18 months too late. We've also got the reserve league to factor in, and it may be that those that are remaining, because of the number of senior players that may be able to be included in the reserve league this season, that may be a kind of an in-between point, that they're still going to be developing, they're still going to be progressing, the likes of perhaps David Turnbull, for one, by playing against some of these more experienced professionals in the reserve league, and at the same time, he still remains on hand should the likes of Biggie go or something like that. Then there's an opportunity to kind of move up and, you know, kind of best of both worlds in a certain extent. I think you're exactly right, Jay. It's a grey area. There's no perfect solution for it. We just need to wait and see how it kind of pans out to see whether his judgment has been correct. But, you know, I think as a club, our aim has to be to bring through our own and sell them on and create the pathway for the next future. So, I mean, I'm kind of siding with you in the extent that, and I think many people would, that if there's kind of two options there, that we would rather see the youngster given the opportunity, that we persevere maybe that wee bit more with them for the longer term gain than perhaps bringing someone in and loan that may do a similar job. Just to see how it pans out, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth pointing out, obviously, I need to acknowledge the fact that, you know, everybody's got their own biases. At the end of the day, a manager is, you know, it's a results-driven business and, you know, all that stuff. His job is to win football matches. If he thinks he's got a better chance of winning football matches by, you know, putting Conor Salmon on the bench or playing Conor Salmon ahead of James Scott, then that's fine. On the same token, I think as football fans, I think the vast majority of football fans, particularly of a club like Motherwell, I think there's nothing better than sort of witnessing a young player evolve, you know, come into the team and evolve. You know, I think like plenty of folk, Alan Campbell was far away my favourite Motherwell player at the moment. And yes, that's because of the way he plays the game, it's the way, you know, he conducts himself, but it's also because he's a product of our youth academy. So I think as fans, you're always going to be, you know, leaning a little bit more to the idea of young players coming through, because there is nothing better at times than seeing, you know, an Alan Campbell or a Chrissy Cadden being the best player in the park. But by the same token, you have to acknowledge that, you know, that's not the way a manager sees it. The manager sees it, A, over the long term, and that those players may get a chance later on, as you said, Andy, maybe perhaps later in the season. But also in the short term, it's, you know, Stephen Robinson's objective is to win this Sunday. And if Connor Salmon being on loan for Hearts, you know, helps him do that, then that will be his priority.
Yeah, he said in the past that he won't put players in just for the sake of it, just for the sake of playing young players, I mean. And I suppose to go to the opposite end of the scale, there's guys with experience that are also on the sidelines, and perhaps people are slightly perplexed by the reasons for them not getting any game time. And we discussed it in the last podcast, but Gael Bigramana, again, an unused substitute on Saturday in a game that I felt, Andy, that we were really lacking any sort of creativity in the middle of the park. Bigramana, I think, is very much flattered to deceive when he's been given a chance from the start, but he has demonstrated an ability to come on and change the game up. I think back to that defeat at Firhill in December of last year. I know I'm trying to back up an argument by referencing a 3-2 defeat to Partick Thistle, but we were 3-0 down, and Bigramana very much changed up a dynamic in that one. He's also come on in the cup final and almost made a game-changing contribution there as well. It doesn't look like it's going to be a successful move, this, for Bigramana. He doesn't seem to be in the manager's plans. I think the last couple of games have very much demonstrated that. When Stephen Robinson's been looking to bring on game-changing players, Bigramana hasn't factored into his thinking, or if he has factored into his thinking, he's not been high enough in the pecking order to get on that park. Is he a player you would expect to see heading for the exit door before the transfer window closes?
You certainly get that impression that he's well down the list of candidates for selections, and that it may well be better for both parties if Robinson has no real intention of using him. That, you know, the budget is better used elsewhere. I tend to agree with you as well that, you know, when I think of his performances, it tends to be as an impact substitute rather than starting a game, taking a grip of proceedings and, you know, dominating a midfield, creating this, that, the other. It may be that the style of play that we adopt is simply not one that is conducive to his kind of abilities and the way that he plays the game. Which strikes you slightly odd, given that we you know, that we brought him. It wasn't as if like Robinson inherited him. But I think there's a slight danger that he becomes a better player the more or the longer that he's left out the team. I tend to agree with you that it's not really worked out as good as everyone hoped or thought it may well do. He came with a fair amount of pedigree with some of the teams that he played for, some of the transfer fees that he'd been involved in. He certainly seemed an effervescent kind of personality and seemed to be very much at home in the kind of videos that we saw whenever the team were kind of away in Ireland bonding last season, and even in, you know, the ones when they were away in the January transfer window as well. But for whatever reason, and that happens with players, it's just an element of football that moves don't work out as well as either party intended. But the kind of Rodriguez got in seems to be, if he's now being preferred to him, then, you know, you wonder what the kind of future holds for him. And if he's not going to get a game with us, then, you know, perhaps it's best that the both parties kind of shake hands and go their separate ways.
We'll look ahead to the league opener at Easter Road on Sunday. Firstly, we'll a quick mention of the cup draw. We'll travel to Livingston in the last 16. An all Premier League tie, obviously, now a fixture that will be played in a plastic surface, which doesn't thrill very many people, I would imagine. We'll discuss it in more depth, obviously, ahead of the game. I think it's taking place, is it the 18th of August that game takes place?
I think so, aye.
So we'll be two games into the league season by the time that one rolls along. The club already advertising that they'll be putting on buses, so clearly encouraging as many Motherwell supporters as they possibly can for a 3 o'clock kick-off and a cup tie on a Saturday. That's one that I think will encourage a lot of people to make it along, not a very far journey, albeit not to a very attractive destination at the end of it, but hopefully we'll get a good turnout and the clubs will come to a sensible arrangement in ticketing prices as well. But we'll know more about that, no doubt, when we record next week. Looking ahead to Sunday's fixture against Hibs, JR, a side that I've certainly entertained over the last four or five games. I think there's something like 736 goals in the last five games. They're certainly not lacking in the entertainment factor. An excellent 3-2 victory in the Europa League on Thursday, coming back from 2-0 behind against a strong Tripolis side from Greece. That being said, they're there to get at the back. They concede goals for fun, including, what was it, did it finish 6-4, 7-4?
6-4, aye.
Their Europa League tie in the Faroe Islands. It's a difficult place to go, there's no doubt about that. We didn't manage a victory at Easter Road in our two visits last season. That being said, they'll be coming back from a difficult tie in Greece. It could go the distance, it could go to extra time, could go to penalties. They'll still have to travel back for the game on the Sunday. You've got to hope elements like that play into our hands, and we'll also have to play very well if we want to come away with something.
Yeah, that's it. I think you've pretty much covered it. I mean, Hibs, you know, Easter Road is always a difficult place to go. Always has been. We will have to go there and, you know, play better than we have done away from home in the group stages of the League Cup by quite some considerable distance. You know, it'll be interesting, obviously, to see even just what kind of team Robinson goes with for that, because, you know, a lot of these group stage games will have been about, you know, who's going to be fit enough, who's playing well enough, who you know, is slotting into the team well enough. So it'll be interesting to see how we line up there to begin with. But, you know, you're right, Hibs, if you're going to play, you know, Hibs, who I think would be in most, you know, most Scottish football fans would probably have Hibs in, you know, the top four or five again this season. So it is going to be a good season. Well, it's going to be a good team that you're up against. But I think, you know, on the back of the games you've mentioned, you know, they are conceding goals. I think if you'd said that we were going to be playing them at this stage after a two-legged tie against a Faroese opposition and at home, you know, to the Greek side, I think, you know, to find out, you know, that they weren't going to keep one clean sheet, or in fact were going to, you know, concede as many goals as they had done, I think that is, you know, is a surprise. But it's a good thing that we can, you know, try and utilise. We have strikers that, you know, that are scoring goals. We've got strikers who can get at Hibs. So yeah, it'll be a really interesting game. I think it's actually got you know, the potential or the ingredients of being a really exciting game, because I think, you know, we haven't looked too clever at the back either, for my liking so far this season. As I said, I wasn't at the game on Saturday, but even the highlights, you know, we don't look particularly great at the back, but we do know we've got players that can create chances and score goals. And by the looks of things, Hibs are in exactly the same boat. So you wouldn't really bet against quite a high scoring game on Sunday, but it's certainly a game that we can go and try and get some sort of positive start to the league campaign. And it would be, you know, even just to get a point at Easter Road in your first game of the season, I think it would be a fantastic result for us to kind of kick off with.
Andy, a few selection issues as well for Stephen Robinson, notwithstanding the long-term ones to Charles Dunn and Craig Tanner. Alan Campbell will be out, courtesy of a suspension carried over from last season. Barry Maguire also is suspended due to a red card in the Youth Cup, I believe, which is bizarre. I would like to read up a bit more about that, because I don't really understand how he was able to feature towards the back end of the season but misses the first game of the following season. It seems very strange. And Ryan Bowman also, there's fitness concerns there after he was the victim of a a very heavy tackle in the meeting with Queen of the South. So we've talked about being a better place in terms of depth going into this season, and right away we're going to be tested in terms of our depth, because Stephen Robinson looks like he'll have to make 3 or 4 changes from that team that beat Clyde on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's we kind of discussed earlier. It's one where those in the fringes, the incoming players, have to look at it as an opportunity for them to stake a claim going forward. When we think back last season, you know, was Stephen Hamill's injury, how much of a part did that play in giving Charles Dunn an opportunity to bed himself into the team? You know, Hammy got injured against Berwick. Would he have kind of started? Was Dunn the kind of preferred option for, you know, the kind of left back position at the start of last season? But, you know, if it was Hamill that was going to be, you know, the player to go with initially, then certainly he's an example of one player that's come in taking advantage of an opportunity, and the other players have to look and see if they can do similar. It's going to be a particularly difficult game. You would hope that it's certainly going to be a bit more atmospheric there. If Hibs come back with a good result, you would imagine that the confidence will be flowing through their kind of fans that's there, obviously their team as well. So it's a very tall order for us to go there at the kind of best of times and try and get a win. But, you know, I'm hopeful that we have enough about us that we can go there, frustrate, perhaps nick a goal, you know, from somewhere, and maybe capitalise again. You know, we mentioned the likes of Freer in the break, Cadden potentially, Tate on the right hand side, for example, the opportunity to get, you know, balls forward to our strike force, whoever we end up going with at the weekend, and maybe that'll be our avenue, you know, for getting a positive result. Very difficult game, but a good one to begin with. It's going to be a good spectacle. It's a good way to open the campaign.
You would obviously hope, Jay, that the Scottish teams in Europe this week, on the back of the quartet of teams that were in action last week, all recording positive results. Hopefully the league campaign will kick off with all four teams still involved in European football. I think there is a possibility we may lose one or two on Thursday night in the Europa League, but for all the disparaging comments coming from the media down south on the state of our game, I must say I'm very much looking forward to the start of the Scottish Premiership season.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not even worth giving much airtime to those kind of comments, because they're always coming for folk who do not have the slightest clue. And let's be honest, if you're either an English football fan or English football pundit and you think Scottish football is as rotten as they claim it is, you're not going to watch it in the first place. So they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So, you know, leave them to their cries of tin pot league and all that, because I'm sure it makes them feel better about, you know, the fact that their own sort of national game is eating itself through greed and hype. I'm quite more than happy. I love Scottish football. I think Scottish football is absolutely brilliant. Season ticket dropped through the door during the week there. I absolutely buzzing. Although sadly, I'm not even making Sunday because I'm on holiday, so I'll need to wait a week or two before I can actually get back into the action. But no, you're right. We need as many people talking up Scottish football as possible, because the folk who get all the, you know, the inches, the column inches, and the airtime tend to put it down when they really don't need to. Looking forward to it kicking off on Sunday. Looking forward to you know, the campaign as a whole kicking off just over the weekend, really. And it's been sadly missed.
And this is a part of the time where we all make our predictions and have aspirations for how the season's going to go. Andy, we're on the back of an incredible season last season. I know the league campaign was probably what you'd describe as quite average, but given the seasons beforehand, it was very comfortable. We had no relegation concerns. And then obviously had these two fantastic occasions where we were involved in the cup finals, obviously coming up short in both occasions. But I think I speak for us all, is getting to these occasions is what it's all about. It's the weeks leading up to it and everything else. We're just fantastic. It would be a big, big ask to go all the way in both cup competitions again. But I think we're more than capable of another solid league campaign. And who knows, if the draws to us in the cup are kind, we could reach maybe one final, maybe a semi-final. I think, despite having been at all the Betfred games, and particularly the two away games, not been quite what I hoped, I'm still in a fairly positive frame of mind going into the season.
I think when it comes to the Cups, it's definitely going to be to our benefit, the fact that we've got through so many knockout ties, so many Cup fixtures last season. We'll get into the final in both Cup competitions. That has to stand you in good stead, both in terms of the confidence and belief that it generates that you can overcome. I mean, look at the teams. I mean, look at the number of Premier League teams that we had to take care of in both of those competitions to get to those finals. And in some respects, the results against those teams weren't always replicated in the league campaign. So the confidence that you can take from that is surely going to be a benefit to us. You're going to go in there, you're full of confidence and belief that we can overcome the challenges that the cup competitions bring us. Whether that's sufficient to get by competitors that have perhaps improved their teams, their first 11s or their squads a bit more than we have, that remains to be seen. But I don't think it's anything that's going to phase us, you know, in the kind of cup competitions ahead. That we know what we can do, we know what we have done, and you know there should be a nose and certainly ability there to get the job done. In terms of league campaign, difficult to say. I think it'll be along similar lines to last season. Don't see that St Mirren, Livingston, Dundee, Hamilton, that kind of pocket of teams are going to be much better than us. Don't know that St Johnstone, Kilmarnock are going to be miles ahead of us, so it kind of tend to think maybe somewhere between kind of 5th, 6th, 7th or 8th it's going to be our kind of battle, a mini battle for where we're going to end up. It remains to be seen. You don't know how injuries go for you. I mean, it could be one of those seasons that we just have injury after injury after injury, and it causes grief and what have you. Players go that bids that we can't turn down and struggle to replace them sufficiently. You never know what's going to happen. We could have a great campaign where the guys that we value remain with us and kind of take us on and develop further from last season. I think it's a difficult one to call at this stage until you actually see everybody, until all the transfers are completed, teams bed in, then it's difficult to make a true kind of guess, but you know, hedging my bets a good wee bit there. I would say somewhere between 5th and 8th. I don't see us, or I would hope that we're not going to be in relegation kind of issues. Don't quite know if we've got enough about us to sort of push towards European qualification. So it's a fairly safe bet, saying roughly middle of the table. We'll see how it goes.
Jay, it's always going to be hard to follow up the success of last season. I say success, I think, while many would link success with actually going on and winning a trophy, I don't think there's any debating that last season was an incredible season for Motherwell supporters. To reach two cup finals is almost unprecedented, and we rightfully made the most of it. On the back of that, there will be increased expectations, but I suppose it's kind of a case of keeping those realistic and let's see how it starts. I think the opening five or six league fixtures will very much set the tone of what's to come in the next 32 games after that.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with what was mentioned earlier. You know, in terms of the cups, you know, it's you go into a league or a new campaign wanting a cup run, a decent cup run, possibly two, but there's so many variables in terms of cups. You know, in particular the draw. If we draw and say Celtic away rather than Livingston, you know, that would be, that's not to say, you know, be disrespectful to Livingston, that will still be a very difficult tie, but in terms of drawing a seeded team, if we'd got Celtic and went out, I don't think you could really look at the League Cup campaign as a failure, because you've came up against a team incredibly difficult to beat. So there's very, you know, it's more difficult to really have expectations, I think, in the Cups out with just wanting, you know, hopefully a good Cup run at some point. In terms of the league, though, I'm very much of the opinion that, at least in terms of the playing squad and the management team, you know, the previous season you've had should be the bare minimum for the season you're about to have in terms of expectations. Off the park, then perhaps not. You know, in terms of budgeting, I'm not suggesting that because we got to, you know, seventh last season, we should now be budgeting for the top six. Absolutely not. That's how, you know, that's how disaster strikes. But I think in terms of, you know, players, in terms of the manager, and in terms of the fans, I'm very much of the opinion that, you know, we finished seventh last season, so the expectations for this season should be to finish sixth. That's what I think, you know, strives you forward, and that's certainly what I would be looking for. It might not happen, and if it doesn't, I'm not suggesting I'll be outraged. I'm not suggesting that's, you know, the bare minimum that Stephen Robinson needs to achieve to keep his job or anything like that. We could finish ninth or tenth and still, you know, have a reasonably good season, depending on what happens elsewhere. But for me, if we finish seventh last season, then I want the expectations to be sixth next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we'll do next week is we'll focus more on events off the park, with Grant Russell joining us on the podcast. Buster will be back then as well, and we'll swap you back out, Jay.
All right, sub.
Well, enjoy your holiday, and Andy, thank you very much, as always, for joining us.
No problem.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. As I say, we'll be back following the Hibs game next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. She put $900 on the fifth horse in the sixth race. I think his name was Chip Savoy. We came in six lengths ahead. We spent the whole next week getting high. At first I thought that she hit on some chip that she got from some other boy. We were overjoyed. She don't have to work. She can tell which horse is gonna finish in first. Some nights of painkillers make the pain even worse. Came in six lengths ahead. We spent the whole next weekend high. I love this girl, but I can't tell when she's having a good time. How am I supposed to know that you're mine if you won't let me touch you? She always does it.